Our gospel this morning comes from St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to those around him, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our abundance, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So growing up, my mom kept 3 large gardens. In fact, they were about 30 yards by 30 yards, about the size of this pavilion. And she kept 3 of them to grow food for us primarily. She also did some canning and other things at the local farmer's market to help provide also in a different way. And this garden took a lot of work, as you can imagine. And she had 3 young kids to help with that work. So every spring, she almost always did all the planting, but then it was our responsibility to keep the garden, to weed it, to tend it, to make sure to hill the potatoes and all that. And so that would be our summer job. And we did not like that summer job. We much rather would have skipped forward to the fall when we were out and about doing other chores in the yard. We could sneak through the garden and grab a couple of sugar snap peas or cherry tomatoes, or to grab some fruit off of one of the trees in the yard. There was definitely abundance around the farm. As I read through our text today, all 3 of them seem to reveal quite a bit about God as we think about being in God's creation here this morning. First, in our Genesis text, we have the second creation story. In it, human beings, man, is created first. And I think that in itself says a lot about who God is and the importance that of who we are to God. Because it was God who created man first and then created the garden to place the man in it. From there, the plants and shrubbery and all that came up, and then the animals were created yet from there. And then God gave man his first job, or first vocation, to till and keep the garden. Now, if we actually look at the Hebrew text here, a better word for till, rather than just, you know, the grunt work, it would be better translated as serve. Humans were created to work for or to serve the garden. Now, this was all before original sin in the first fall when they ate the apple. But that doesn't mean that job goes away. If anything, it just means that that job's going to change because now weeds grow. The yields aren't as bountiful and you're going to sweat a little bit. I think those of you who were around last Saturday to help clean around the church can attest to that. Myself, I couldn't even be there because I was hurt from a previous injury. So that's our Genesis text. Now, briefly here in Colossians, we hear Paul talking to a community that has been told that the world is bad, that creation is broken. And Paul makes the argument, he says the world is good because Christ was created, Christ existed before time, and that all things were created in and through Him. And because of that, they are good, because Christ is good. And then finally, we hear this Matthew text, where Jesus is speaking to those around Him, His disciples and some of the others following Him around, saying, "Do not worry." One of those very redundant, familiar phrases we hear in the Bible. Do not worry, for God provides all basic needs. Look at the birds and the lilies. They're doing just fine. They've got everything they need. How much more valuable are you than they? And because God provides all we need, and we don't need to worry, God invites us to first seek, or to first strive or seek God's kingdom and righteousness. Now in this I see a pattern. I see a pattern of beginning with abundance. Abundance that moves into an invitation not to worry, and then again to strive for God's kingdom and righteousness, back to abundance. Everything begins first with God's great abundance. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Eden, garden, the Garden of Eden. Eden also means abundance, luxury. And God does this giving of abundance in two different ways. It's a twofold strategy. First, it's what Jesus brings. Jesus brings God's loving plan for brings God's loving plan for an unbroken relationships with us and eternal life with God. So Christ first brings this renewal of relationship with God, with one another, and promises that eternal life for us. Secondly, God places us in God's lavishly rich garden, creation. And because of Jesus, all our needs are met. From there, we see this invitation from Jesus to not worry. And it's not only just in Matthew here. We hear it throughout all of Scripture, Old and New Testament. Do not worry. Because Jesus has met our needs, we don't need to worry. And if we have all we need, we can let that peace go. Now, I realize that this is easier said than done. We're always worrying about the next day. We're worrying about what we're going to eat, if we're going to make rent, if we're going to be able to pay the bills, if we'll keep our job, on and on and on. We worry. And it doesn't help that in our culture we have one that is built on the fear of scarcity. On your way home this morning, listen to the radio and any ad. What's at the root of that? As you watch TV, what is at the root of that? It's something that you've got to have because you don't have it. And if you don't get it, someone else might. Because there's only so much to go around. We don't want to miss out on our piece of the pie, do we? So we have this invitation not to worry. And if we're not worried, we then are freed to strive and seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, which brings us back to where we are in God's abundance. Now, what does it mean to strive or to seek? Here, we seek, we identify, we look for God's inbreaking of abundance for humankind. It's that second strategy I talked about before, being in God's lavish garden. If we let our focus and energy be on God's abundance rather than on the falsity of scarcity, we can live and seek what's already there. And from this place of abundance, we're more likely to seek out God's righteousness. Now, what does it mean here in God's righteousness? So, in the context of our passage, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is addressing his disciples and all those on the mountain. And if you remember, way back in January and February, we went over all these. But to give you a quick flashback, if you will, in the context here, righteousness means right conduct according to God's will. Right conduct according to God's will. And what does that look like? Jesus talks about a world where the rejected and the downtrodden are named blessed. Jesus instructs us not to be so harsh on the letter of the law, but really that these were created that we might seek and build relationships with others. And Jesus points out to us the ways in which we can honor God through almsgiving, through prayer, and through fasting. Righteousness is not something that is demanded by God. Rather, it is given freely by God through Christ Jesus. It is God's divine power to make the unrighteous righteous. God gives us this. God gives all of creation this, making the unrighteous righteous. So we have this pattern, beginning first with the abundance that God has given us, into the realization that we don't need to worry because of that, freeing us to serve God fully in the present kingdom and righteousness. And because of God's great abundance, we continue this cycle. And this cycle is incorporated into all of life's stages and all of our vocations, beginning with that first vocation, to serve and keep God's garden, the earth. Now, the tools, the environment, are definitely different than Adam and Eve had back then. We have a lot of technology. But the calling has not changed, brothers and sisters. We are called to serve and keep God's garden. This is the job God has given us. And God continues to give out of God's great abundance to us. And it's that righteousness freely given in and through Christ for eternity and for our daily needs. Again, God does not demand righteousness. God only dishes it out. He only dishes out love and grace, even for us who have not earned it. No, God gives abundance freely to us and for us as we serve and keep God's abundant garden. Amen.